The passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, which was the reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent. When asked where his authority derived, St. John the Baptist said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." This particular occasion, what caused John to make the proclamation that he was what Isaiah had foretold, the voice of the Lord crying in the wilderness, was that the Pharisees had sent emissaries to test him, to see what he was all about. Now, they weren't there because they were believers. They weren't there because they were repentant. Certainly, there were many people who came to John for baptism. Certainly, the publicans came. The soldiers came. Lots of people came. And John advised each of them to give up their sinful ways, to take their baptism, and to rejoice in the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. These emissaries weren't there to be baptized. They were there for an inquiry, because the Pharisees had become very comfortable in a world in which they were the elite of their religion and their culture under the occupation of Rome. And the Messiah, who was foretold to come, was expected to overthrow that very good arrangement, at least in the eyes of the Pharisees. And if he did overthrow the legions of Rome and the occupiers, what would have happened would be that those Pharisees would have had their comfortable lives destroyed. At least they would have been changed, right? And they wouldn't have been in the situation where they had been able to shrink the worship of God to a convenient number, small number of folks who could enjoy their own company and exclude the large majority of the Jewish people who were not only in Jerusalem, but in Israel. And so they wanted to know. You're sitting there, John the Baptist. You're criticizing us. You're condemning our comfortable lives as curators of the faith under the Roman occupation. How dare you do that? Who do you think you are? That's really the question that they were asking. Who do you think you are? And his answer from Isaiah is, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am the herald of the Messiah." And with the coming of the Messiah, what the response should have been was the response that the people who came to John for baptism had, to put aside their pride and their sinfulness and to prepare, though there would be tremendous change, for the institution of God's kingdom in the place of the Roman kingdom. What Isaiah told them after he said that they should be looking for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, which was himself, was that the wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The world will see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. The Lord will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap as a hart and the dumb shall sing. The thirsty land shall become a spring of water, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The redeemed shall walk there, the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Now those of us who are in this room are listening to those words of Isaiah and the proclamation of John, and we too should be anticipating that we will be part of the making of the way straight, be part of the holiness that will precede the establishment of the kingdom of God. And we should be in position to rejoice. Now, unfortunately, the Pharisees were not, giving up their comfortable place of worship, their comfortable position in society, wasn't what they wanted to do. They weren't willing to go through the pain of change in anticipation of the establishment of God's kingdom. But we too are waiting for the establishment of God's kingdom, his return in power and glory, right, either at the end of the world in general or at the end of our individual and particular worlds, right? Because the world ends for all of us individually, even before it ends for all of us collectively. So we all need to be looking forward to meeting Jesus with repentance, but also with joy. Now, we have a chance tomorrow to actually apply ourselves to the test, right? We'll have lots of people here that haven't been to the church before. The parking lot will be full. It'll be hard to get a place to park. And the worst thing that can possibly happen in an Anglican church is that when you walk in here, somebody will be sitting in your seat. How dare they? We have seats. Doesn't everybody know that? These are our seats. You can't sit here. Who do you think you are? You know, and they'll be unfamiliar with our service. They'll be distracted and distracting. They might bring a child that makes some noise. You know, God will like that. We might not be so quick to embrace it, but God would like it very much and does. And those people, we have to remember, are coming here not because they want to only encounter God twice a year. They're coming here because up until now, we've disappointed them, that we've been very comfortable in the way that we have lived our Christianity, that we, like the Pharisees, have gotten used to being in a small group that is comfortable, that knows everything that we know, and worships exactly the way that we worship, and has everything down pat. And it's messy to have newcomers or occasional comers in the pews. And yet, that's what we're called to do. You know, the truth is that we should have been ministering to those people all year long. We should be out where they live. But this Christmas Eve, God will do us a favor and do some of our work for us and gather them together here for us so that we can do the work of evangelism that he has set us to do, that those people who dare to sit in our seats and park in our parking spaces are the very people, especially the people that we are meant to evangelize. Because the truth is, when they come to church only twice a year, it's not because they don't want the love of Christ. It's because they fear the rejection of people, right? They fear that they're going to be judged. They fear that they're going to be made to feel like outsiders and made to feel unwanted and made to feel like the noise they make and the distractions they make are not welcome. And if we make them feel like that, we aren't really much better than those Pharisees who are unwilling to change their comfortable ways to accommodate the people that Jesus was about to bring into the family of God. And we have the responsibility to accommodate, not just to accommodate, to console, to love those people that come. You know what? People that don't come to church very often, they're lonely. They're suffering. I mean, they're not living a comfortable life spiritually. They have the absence of God's love in their life. They have the absence of the Christian community supporting them and holding them up. They have, at the very best, wonderful gifts that they are missing. And in the worst cases, they are in the great depths of despair and difficulties in their families. And we have an opportunity to be Christ's hand and Christ's voice to them, to lift them up, to comfort them, to console them, to make a holy path, to make straight the way of the Lord so that they can see straight through us to the glory of God, so that they'll participate with us, not just tomorrow night, but every Sunday and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.